Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 424. And tonight, we actually have several things we got to talk about because, strangely enough, we keep catching up on things. This is really weird. What's going on with us?
I don't know. Something in the air, perhaps. It's been kind of weird weather-wise. I think our weather systems got flopped over because North Carolina has been brisk and sunny and breezy and lovely, and you guys have been getting like 101 degree weather.
Yeah, in case you hear anything going on in the background, I did turn my fans off, but I didn't close the window because I don't want to die. So you might hear some traffic. I'm sorry. Anyway, I guess we should probably get it out of the way first that we just found out this afternoon that we lost another major, major icon in the nerd world this evening.
James Earl Jones passed away, I think, 93 years old.
I think so.
So, God, so many roles, so many of which I haven't seen yet. I have never seen Field of Dreams, and that's supposed to be very, very good, and I have to actually watch that sometime.
So I was thinking about him the other day. Did you ever see the movie Sneakers with Robert Redford?
Yes, yes, he was like a big CIA guy at the very end or something.
Yeah. He was great. He was wonderful. I only remember a little bit of that movie, but I remember him being amazing in it.
A Hunt for Red October. He was Jack Crawford. Not Jack Crawford. That's a completely different series there. He was the main character's friend in the CIA, I think.
Yep. And hang on. I'll get in a second. Coming to America.
Oh, my goodness. Wearing like an entire tiger as a robe.
Yeah. Amazing.
Just amazing. So iconic. But yeah, I've been looking around on Facebook, and Jim Wright from Stone Kettle Station posted a little tribute about one of his favorite roles for James Earl Jones, and it was on The Big Bang Theory. And I'll just read it out from his post, that he plays himself and takes Sheldon out for a night of debauchery, including singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight at a karaoke bar, a visit to a Tijuana strip club, and finally ending up naked in a public sauna. The end, where Carrie Fisher is standing in her doorway with a bat and shouting, "It's not funny anymore, James!" And Jones shouts back as he's running away, "Then why am I laughing?" Kills me every time. I'm like, now that episode I got to look up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'd never even heard that episode existed.
But according to Jim here, it was the first time in all those years that Carrie Fisher and James Earl Jones met in person. Because, of course, it was always David Prowse as the physical incarnation of Darth Vader.
It's true.
But he said it looked like they were having so much fun.
Oh, I imagine they were. What a great idea. Man, alive. R.I.P. James Earl Jones. I'm glad he got to live a really long and hopefully full and happy life.
Yeah, and just so much that he contributed to everything, to the culture. I mean, he's just, everybody knows who he is, and it's almost like the type of person you are would be based on who you actually identify with him the most. And for me, it's got to be Darth Vader. I think Nathan would agree with me because he said he saw Star Wars for the first time when he was 7. And just the second Darth Vader comes strolling in through all of the gunfire and the smoke and everything, and Nathan was just like, instantly, this is the best bad guy ever.
He so is. Oh my God. I'm glad they made him scary again in Rogue One.
Yes. I was very happy about that.
Okay, so we have several topics that we're going to talk about next, and I'm going to leave it up to you to decide. So here's what we're going to talk about. One, Catherine has actually watched an episode of Lower Decks, so we got to talk about that. Two, car going by, sorry. Catherine has also watched an least one episode of the third season of Mayor of Kingstown.
Yep, the first episode of season 3.
I have watched 2 episodes of the new show Chaos, so I have to touch on that one. And then finally, if you've been on social media like we are way too often, there's been a story going around about a guy who got bit by his pet snake. And I really feel like it deserves to get talked about because it's kind of eaten our brains.
It has. Yeah. I've just been obsessively looking into that. But I'm okay with starting with Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yes.
I love the animation. I mean, the intro was beautiful.
Gorgeous.
But it's all just like, you know, just the beautiful, majestic ship coming into view and then things happening to it. It gets pummeled by a meteorite and starts to crash. It starts getting eaten by some gigantic monster, just that sort of thing, obviously playing with the tropes, but the expressions for everybody is just fantastic. I love that. But I was delighted to find out that it was Jack Quaid playing the main character, the main ensign, because he did a guest spot on Red Letter Media at one point, and
he's
just so delightful, and it was just like, oh, hey! So, yeah, loved all of that. But just every bit of that episode was so fun, and just like shouting out names of established characters, just like, aha, yes, we know it's the same world. We are going to hear this a lot. But little things that jumped out, like, okay, so Jack Quaid's character, main character, he's Ensign...
Boimer.
Ensign Boimer and Ensign Mariner are on a... an away mission, and they're getting chased by this horrible spider monster that's going to try to kill both of them, and they're trying to figure out how to stop it without hurting it, and she just says, oh, I know, take off your pants, and he just full body cringes away and goes, Mariner, and just somehow how he delivered that line, just I had to rewind and watch it again. It was so hilarious.
I wrote down that exact same line. It was so funny. Oh my God. And then, like I said, it's fan service, but it's not the fan service that's not self-aware. This show is so self-aware. Oh, my good Lord. And then little comments, like at one point, I don't know if this is in the first episode or one of the earlier episodes, but I wrote this down as well. When she's talking about a guy who's like really attractive, and she's like, that guy's like a Kirk Sunday with Trip Tucker sprinkles. And I was going, oh, my God, it's like they're talking directly to me. Holy cow.
But the revelation at the end of season one of who Ensign Mariner actually is was the perfect reveal, because it's two people shouting at each other. I'm just like, wait, what? Oh my God, now I get what's going on. So
yes.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. And what is like, it's had four seasons so far, and I'm only just now starting it.
Yeah, and it was, again, I guess I got a little tired of Star Trek for a while because I keep trying to finish up Star Trek Picard, and the third season is definitely good, and I just, for some reason, I don't care, and I tried to get into Discovery, and I finished it, and I was like, meh. So I really put off watching this one, and I have already blown through the entire first season and two episodes of the second season, and it's so funny, and it just doesn't stop being funny.
Great. Okay, yes. Looking forward to more of that.
Yes. Okay, so then next, I think, car outside, next we got to talk about Mayor of Kingstown season 3, because you made a comment when you were watching the first episode
that I was figuring that I didn't think Diane West was going to be coming back, and I wasn't sure if she was going to survive or if her character was going to survive, and you wouldn't give me any spoilers. So, of course, season 3, spoilers, opens on Miriam's funeral. And I'm just like, yeah, crap. Okay. And I don't know in the first season that we've seen Kyle really like suffering about that, because he was the person, he was a stray bullet from his gun that got her, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's, I don't know. That's going to be interesting. But so yeah, just watching and making various notes, like, I don't know that I've ever been to a funeral where they've done the thing where everybody gets to put a shovel full of dirt onto the coffin. Have you? It's definitely not been something that's come up in any funerals. Maybe it's a northern kind of thing, but we've been to funerals in Ohio before. So I don't know. Yeah.
No,
but,
idea.
I don't know. It's another installment of Nobody Listens to Mike. And it really feels like all of the cops, I mean, I'm sure they see criminals as people who like don't care about consequences, but the cops don't care about consequences. Like, let's make a deal with prisoners. And even though they're going to try to hold it over our heads forever, we're just going to ignore it. And then we're going to like abuse them until they finally break and be all surprised when there's a riot. And then, you know, Robert, the SWAT team guy, he wants to go on this mission to take out the Aryans or the whatever their meth lab, is sort of a sop to the fact that, oh, well, it was most likely them that beat up Robert. And it starts going wrong. And Robert goes in there with some kind of missile launcher or something and incinerates the entire place. And none of them are thinking about the fact that, like, you don't think anyone's going to care that, like, these really dangerous people, that killing is part of their business model, and you don't think anything bad is going to happen because you just crispy fried all of these guys? It's just, yeah, it is baffling, and it's probably a little close to reality too.
That's what I'm afraid of. I keep on wanting to say, man, this isn't very realistic, is it? And I'd hate to ask a cop, because I think a cop would be like, yeah, in a city like that where it's just all prisons and the only people who live there are prisoners or cops or gang members who are going to eventually end up in prison. Yeah, it's probably a lot like that.
Yeah, but one bit that I really did love is that Mike goes to talk to Evelyn at her job. And of course, she's still pissed at him because he's in bed with the criminals to try to stop more people from being killed, and more people are being killed. So that's not working out. But she's just so furious at him. She's been furious since last season. She just, you know, tells him that her predecessor got killed and now she's taking over, and she is just going to absolutely go after everybody that she can. And if Mike shows up in one of her investigations, she's going to go after him too. And he's like, I know, I know. And then he wants to know where her security detail is, and she doesn't trust them because they're cops and she's going to be going after cops. And he's just like mad at her for putting herself in danger. And he tells her just like, you know, I'll vet the guys. I'll make sure everything's fine. And they both start laughing a little. And she's like, I just said that I would go after you and you're actually trying to protect me. And he just, Jeremy Renner just smiles and she is charmed. And I'm like, yes, I am absolutely there with you. That would have charmed the fuck out of me if that had been Jeremy Renner smiling at me. I don't care how pissed off I would have been.
Yeah, no, it would have been real unrealistic if she had continued to be angry at him at that moment, because I'm just like, oh, come on, you can't. Come on.
So yeah, that was delightful. Only other thing is I'm really worried that this is going to be the end of Mike and Bunny's friendship, because it seems like Bunny's got some other things going on. But I did love how delighted Bunny was when he found out that Mike is an uncle now, because Kyle's wife finally had their baby. And she's like, oh, that was really touching.
It was. Now, didn't you say there was a jump scare that really got you in the first
episode?
Holy
crap. Yeah. I mean, I just finished watching Star Trek Lower Decks. I turned this on and in like the first 5 minutes, a car blows up and it scared the life out of me.
That was a good one.
Cool. Like, wow. Yeah, that was startling. It was even startling when I went back and watched it again.
Yeah, well, of course. Oh, God. Yeah, I think the season, I think you'll be okay with how the season goes, having finally finished it up myself. I guess I could say they stuck the landing, though not as good as the first season, but still good, better than the second season. Weird, goes into some very weird and odd choices. But yeah, I'm curious to see what you think about the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, they've already brought in another big bad. I'm assuming it's the head of the Aryans or whatever, who's going to take revenge for all those guys getting killed. And then somebody is taking over Milo's operation. And one of the first things he does is murder Tatiana, who I believe was Milo's main squeeze. So that's going to be interesting, but yeah, well, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the snake guy next, because that way we can talk about Chaos and end on a slightly more happy and maybe less Schadenfreude note.
I swear to God, the first thing I see is you sending me a link about what had happened. And there was a screen cap of this guy who had just said, anti-venom is for pussies. You can guess what would happen when they've got somebody with that kind of an attitude handling snakes. He's going to get bitten. But he didn't just get bit by anything. He got bit by something called an inland taipan, I think, which is like one of the most incredibly venomous snakes out there. And everybody's just losing their minds about this, because the first thing he did, and I've seen it on Facebook, goes to like the snake handlers classifieds or whatever like that, and made two Facebook posts asking if anybody had anti-venom.
Man, and it's not just that. It's not just that he had this incredibly dangerous snake, that he makes the comment about anti-venom is for pussies, that he believes in free handling snakes. It's not just all of those things that are incredibly dangerous and maybe not well thought out, but this guy puts these screeds online about how he won't let anybody tell him what to do, and anybody who doesn't free handle their snakes is a bunch of pussies. You know, people who like pick up their snakes with like hooks, like you're kind of supposed to do when it's that freaking dangerous. It is just like he was begging for people to hope that he got bit.
Yeah, and it was just like, and you've seen this kind of attitude before. It's like the playground level insults combined with this obsession with being seen as masculine. And it's just like toxic masculinity dripping off the page.
Oh, man.
And, you know, so he's in the hospital and he got bit, because, I mean, this venom, we're talking like organ damage, respiratory failure, renal failure. He's got on hemodialysis. He's on a ventilator at this point. he was able to get some venom eventually, but there were a couple of places that flat out said, no, we are not giving our anti-venom to idiots who bring this sort of thing on themselves. And I thought at first that like they were going to get dragged on the internet, but there were a lot of people that were agreeing with them. And then people started explaining why that is a good attitude for a zoo or a reptile facility to have.
Yeah. If you're an actual, I mean, I think there's probably regulations that say you should have an anti-venom if you're a private owner of a venomous snake. But certainly if you're a public institution, if you have a venomous snake, you're required to have the venom on site. You have to have it. If you don't have it, if for some reason you have a venomous snake but you don't have any anti-venom, you're required to euthanize your snakes. And so if they gave up their anti-venom to a guy who had publicly said that he didn't believe in anti-venom, he didn't believe in safety precautions when handling your snakes, and this one woman at one of the facilities was like, no, I'm not going to give it up to people who make things more dangerous for everybody else. I have to have it on site because I care about my employees a lot more than I care about this guy. And I'm like, good for you.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I mean, I think there have been a couple of people that were upset about the attitude on that, but the vast majority of people were like, because what happened when he's in the hospital now, he got, I think it was his father had to give the police or opted to give the police access to his animals, his pets. Well, they all got euthanized. And there were a bunch of people who said, they could have given them to zoos. And then someone else pipes up and they're like, no, I work for a zoo. We get these calls by the dozen, people who were irresponsible and had a dangerous pet and now they can't keep it anymore and they want the zoo to take it. And first of all, just for, I think they called it biosecurity reasons, you don't want to bring an outside animal, God knows how well it's been taken care of, and possibly infect your animals with something. And they just don't have the resources. I mean, it happens a lot. And I loved Ursula Vernon's father had some experience with this.
Yes. Apparently he had, I think he had some boas in the house and she's, you know, dealt with different kind of snakes before. Never. You were the one who pointed out, we've learned a new word. People talk about keeping hots.
Yep,
that's a name for it.
Or hot handling.
Yeah. So yeah, he apparently was versed enough with working with snakes that he eventually became the person that the law enforcement or other such places would call to handle like a snake getting out or a snake situation. And a lot of times it was like somebody, some kid who had a python and they went to school and the parents are like, nope, get it out of here.
Yeah,
and that happens all the time.
Yeah. So I've been learning a lot from all of this and I don't want to wish that the guy dies, but I agree with what you said that it is better that he doesn't die because then he gets to see how everybody has been reacting to his stupidity and his god-awful posts. And apparently he was just a gigantic creep and he was maybe not so nice to the women in the snake camp community, and he's got his fans. He's got an awful lot of fans, but he's got an awful lot more people who were like, yeah, I had to unfollow him after a while. There's something wrong with him.
Yeah, somebody else pointed out that that's the problem with the internet nowadays. You see some of this stuff, especially that one screed where he was talking about, and all you people, and you're going to go home and dress in your grandma's clothes and jerk off to a dead squirrel, and everyone's like, wow, that was really specific.
Wow.
So he's got some type of thing going on. And so you kind of want to give him a little empathy for the fact that obviously his mental problems are on full display on the internet. But in case you want to give him too much sympathy, these snakes, they were not being kept in like aquariums. Most of them were being kept in Tupperware containers with bricks on the lid. So they were not well cared for and probably not in a great state when they were euthanized. So it's just, there was so much wrong, but I can't stop looking for updates.
I can't either. Things. Yeah. And I'm not somebody who gets automatically bothered by snakes. I kind of like snakes. No. I've had a chance to hold a python at one point. Mm. I think they're really oddly elegant.
Yes.
But I couldn't ever have them as a pet because I know, and I've heard this from various people. Nathan had a roommate in college who had a snake. Snakes get out of their cage.
Yep.
And I like snakes, but I also love my cats, and I just don't think the combination is workable. So that will not be happening, but kudos to anybody who does a good job of taking care of snakes and doesn't end up in the hospital.
Oh, God. And somebody made some comment. They said, you know, living your life so that you show up as an autofill in the search results. And it's just like you type in Jeff Leibowitz is his name and it's all Jeff Leibowitz taipan bite, Jeff Leibowitz venom is for pussies, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Oh, like, yeah. And what I thought was hilarious was that you would see all these threads on Blue Sky or on Facebook, and it would be, you know, people talking about his history, people bringing in facts about Venom, people talking about their experiences with snakes, and every once in a while you will get a, Jesus fucking Christ, he was handling a taypan?
Yeah.
So if people are in the know and they hear something like that, it's basically like trying to juggle bullets as they come out of a gun. It's so dangerous. So dangerous.
Yeah, if you want to know more about it, if you go onto Blue Sky and look up T. Kingfisher, that's Ursula Vernon, her posts were the reason why I found it, and you can track back to a lot of conversations about that, and links to the Facebook pages where he himself was posting, begging people to send him some anti-venom, which is apparently like an ounce is between $1,000 and $10,000, depending on the snake. So yeah, some people said it's possibly the reason why he didn't have any anti-venom because he couldn't afford it. But that kind of means that he probably shouldn't have been buying those snakes.
Yeah, but you know,
that's right. Really sorry about the noise outside, but I am not closing that window.
No, so. Too hot.
Too hot. Okay, so to leave it on a better note, I had been hearing about the show called Chaos, and I only knew that it was a modern retelling of Greek mythology and that Jeff Goldblum was in it. And I am here to say I watched two episodes with Wade last night, and it is all kinds of fun, especially if you like Greek mythology.
Oh, good. Yes. Well, I need something now that Laura Olympus isn't around anymore.
Mm, yeah. Now, this is completely different personalities, except, of course, Zeus is still a jerk, which I like that they're keeping to that. That's very fun. But, you know.
Oh, well, I've actually been listening to the Epic the Musical stuff. And yeah, Zeus is a jerk. Zeus is a gigantic jerk in that. So good for consistency there.
Yes. But it's just, you know, Wade knows some Greek mythology. He said that his brother Bill is one of those people who will just sort of shout out in the middle of the episode, oh, I know where that myth comes from and all this kind of stuff. I think Bill knows a lot more than we do. But I was having fun too, because at one point somebody in a bar walks up and he's got an eye patch on and his name is Polly.
Oh no, Polyphemus.
The Cyclops. It's so, and there's so many things like that when you sit there and you're like, oh, I see what they're doing with that boat. Oh my God, that's brilliant. And all the different, I've seen so many gods come in now, and really high production values, super high production values, including there's like a song at one point, and this is supposed to be somebody who's like a pop singer, so they're singing a song, and it's hard to do that. It's hard to write a song for a movie or TV show and be like, ooh, this is a popular song in this world, you know? You do the best you can, but you know, pop songs have this like, it's almost like viral videos. It's hard to make something and be like, ooh, write me a successful pop song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, if we could do that, everyone would do it. I thought it was really good. I was very impressed.
Where is it streaming?
Netflix.
Oh, good. Okay, yes, because I restarted my Netflix account specifically so we could watch The Crown, and we're still just 5 episodes into the final season. But now you still haven't finished the last season of The Umbrella Academy?
No, not yet. Okay, so I haven't started my Netflix back up yet, but I have been pet sitting for my friends across the street, so they're about ready to go out of town. First thing I'm going to watch is the final episode. I am very, very curious to see how they're going to wrap this one up.
Yeah, because your thoughts on the final episode is going to determine how quickly I jump on the final season myself.
Yeah. So far, I think you'll enjoy it, but only if you go into it knowing that it's got a real Netflix bloat problem. So
always. Such a shame.
Yeah, but that's what's next on my list. Ooh, and as long as we're talking about Netflix, we got the word the other day that Arcane is coming back in November.
Oh, and the official word is that this is going to break everybody's freaking hearts this season. So we know, I don't know who's going to survive. I'll tell you what, Jace and Counselor Madara,
yeah,
they didn't show up anywhere in the trailer. So I'm wondering if they were, because I was hoping somebody in the council would survive Jinx's missile that she fired into there. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know. They were good about that, actually. That was really smart of them. The only people that they showed us in the trailer were people who had not been in that room.
Right.
Which is really, because we're all wondering, like, who in the world survived? Did anybody survive? That was an awfully big missile she shot.
It sure was. So, yep, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I mean, the animation, of course, looks top-notch in the trailer. So just
brilliant.
For that alone, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I can't believe we have to wait until November. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. No, I didn't review Saga like I said I was gonna. I got tied up with it's been hot, whatever. I've been writing because it's been hot. Sure, that's an excuse. Well, whatever.
Well, I've been reading the book written by Keanu Reeves and China Miéville, The Book of Elsewhere, and I'm actually enjoying it. It's different from China Miéville's stuff. I feel like I can feel a little bit of his writing style, but I have no idea the history of this book or how much each one contributed to the project, but it's worthwhile. I mean, I'm halfway through it already. So yeah, I think it's a good book. I'm not sure if everyone will like it because the prose can sometimes get a little tortured, but I think that's on purpose.
Yeah. I want to say, I think China Miéville does that a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if Keanu Reeves does that too. So
yeah, it felt appropriate for both of them.
Yeah. We'll have a review of that, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So I think we have our work cut out for us for next time. I don't know that we will have a Night Vale yet. We might. I don't know. Time is weird. But we will certainly have episodes of Chaos, episodes of Mayor of Kingstown, episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks, and other nerd stuff, because we're specific. But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
So I got distracted because the little timer thing went off right while I was talking. I was like, oh, there we go. 10-minute warning.